William the Persian. William was intrigued when he heard that Miss Cliff of Lilac Cottage and Mrs. Nickel of the Elms were going to exchange houses for a month, because Miss Cliff wanted a larger house and Mrs. Nickel a smaller one. Mrs. Nickel's mother, who generally lived with her, was going away for a change, and Miss Cliff's aunt was coming to stay. The aunt was a bedridden invalid of the more exacting type, who insisted on a room with plenty of space facing south. And as there was no such bedroom in Miss Cliff's cottage, and as the Elms fulfilled all the requirements, and as Mrs. Nickel was notoriously mean and ready for any excuse to save a penny, the rent of Lilac Cottage was, of course, far smaller, the exchange was quickly effected. So interested was William in this odd idea that he hung round the gate of Lilac Cottage, trying to catch a glimpse of Mrs. Nickel moving about in Miss Cliff's surroundings. Mrs. Nickel soon commandeered William to spy for her, paying him one penny to visit Miss Cliff and report back on whether she hadn't moved Mrs. Nickel's beautiful piano into a draught. And nice little Miss Cliff also paid William a penny to visit Mrs. Nickel and secretly check that she was watering her ferns regularly and standing them in the sunlight. But then Mrs. Nickel asked William to look into the sideboard drawer in the dining room at the Elms and see if her silver spoons were still there, and to make sure that Miss Cliff was not using them, as they were an heirloom, and she distinctly told Miss Cliff that they were not to be used. William indignantly refused the commission. So Mrs. Nickel gave him a note to carry to Miss Cliff, who turned pale with anxiety as she read it.
"Oh, dear," she said. "Yes, I remember she did mention silver spoons. I haven't used them. I've not even noticed them in the drawer."
She scurried to the sideboard and began a feverish search for the spoons.
"They must be here,"
she cried desperately. William joined in the search, but they were nowhere to be found. Finally, Miss Cliff sat down to write a distraught note to Mrs. Nickel, begging her to make quite sure that she hadn't taken the spoons with her. Mrs. Nickel looked grim as she read it.
"Well, if she can't find them, she must pay for them, that's all, and she won't find that very cheap."
She conveyed this information to Miss Cliff in a terse note, over which Miss Cliff wept. Poor little Miss Cliff, hunting for the silver spoons and flying up and down stairs at the bidding of the bedridden aunt. William was glad of the diversion of the Persian boy. The Persian boy was a real flesh-and-blood boy from Persia who was in England on a visit and was coming to spend a day at the vicarage. Miss Cliff asked the vicar to bring the boy to tea. He said that he himself had to attend a meeting in Hadley that day, but that the boy could come to tea with her alone. Miss Cliff asked William to help entertain the Persian boy. On William's advice, she ordered mainly doughnuts and iced cakes and cream buns and chocolate biscuits. She made a jelly and a trifle. She spent much time arranging the room as she thought a Persian boy would like it.
"I'm afraid the carpet's Axminster, William dear," she said. "I hope it won't annoy him. Of course, a Persian one would have been much nicer. Do you think he'll sit on the floor? Ought the tea table to face the east? I believe that's an Oriental custom. If he doesn't sit on the floor, I wonder if he'll object to a leather chair. Or is that Hindus?"
In the end, she arranged several cushions on the floor in case the Persian boy wished to sit there, and a basket chair facing the east at the tea table in case he didn't. The fact that Mrs. Nickel, who had tried unsuccessfully to get the Persian boy to tea at her home, would be able to watch his arrival at Miss Cliff's from her drawing-room window, added to her pleasure, though she tried not to let it. She had asked William to come early, and so William set out soon after 2 o'clock. Near Miss Cliff's gate, he met the vicar hurrying along.
William, my boy, do something for me, will you? Go to Miss Cliff's and give her a message, otherwise I'm afraid I shall miss the bus. Will you tell her I'm so sorry, but I'm afraid Hassan won't be able to come to tea this afternoon? He's had to go back directly after lunch. It seems that his friends had made other arrangements for him. Please convey my apologies to Miss Cliff. I only hope that she made no special preparations.
With that, he hurried on. William stood motionless.
No special preparations. The Persian boy had bounded her whole horizon.
and Mrs. Nickel, noting the non-arrival of the Persian boy, would crow triumphantly over her neighbour. It wouldn't do.
"Oh, I'm so glad to see you, William,"
began Miss Cliff, but William interrupted.
"I've just come to say that I'm very sorry that I can't come to tea. My mother wants me to help her this afternoon. She's not feeling well, and she told me to tell you she was very sorry."
Miss Cliff's face fell.
"Oh, I'm so sorry, William. I shall miss you so much, but I quite understand."
"And," said William, "I met the vicar just outside. He told me to tell you that that boy'll be here about 4, but that he'll have to wear his native costume, veil and such like. He always has to wear it when he goes out to tea."
Miss Cliff looked slightly taken aback.
"Oh, I hadn't realised that. A veil, did you say, William?"
"Yes, same as what boys wear in Persia."
"Oh,
"He's promised his mother to wear it whenever he goes out to tea."
"Oh, of course, he must then, dear. I quite understand. I suppose he does speak English, doesn't he?"
William shook his head.
"No, not much. And he's very shy. He often doesn't speak at all when he goes out to tea. But he can understand English when people speak it to him. At least, that's what I heard the vicar say."
"Oh, I do wish you were coming, dear. But you must come tomorrow and finish up the trifle and jelly and the cakes he doesn't eat."
"Thanks," said William, and added, "he eats quite a lot. At least, that's what I heard the vicar say."
He went home quickly and set to work. Fortunately, his sister Ethel was out for the day, and so he could rummage undisturbed among her possessions. He draped an embroidered shawl about his person. Over his head and face, he hung a large crepe de chine square, securing it by a round embroidery frame that fitted his head like a crown. He could only just see through the square, and this necessitated a slow and dignified gait. He managed to escape from his own home without being seen. He saw Mrs. Nickel watching him from her window as he opened Miss Cliff's gate, saw her look of jealous fury as her eyes took in his stately and ornate figure, and felt that the whole adventure was already a glorious success. Miss Cliff received him with a beaming smile of welcome, and conducted him into the drawing-room, waving one hand questioningly to the cushions on the floor and the other to the chair facing the east. William, with a courteous bow, took the chair facing east.
"Oh, this is such a pleasure, my dear boy," said Miss Cliff. "Such a pleasure. I've been looking forward to it for so long. I had asked another boy to meet you, a very dear little friend of mine, such a nice boy. I'm sure you'd have liked him."
William smirked self-consciously behind his veil.
"But he had to stay at home to help his mother this afternoon. I'm sure you'll understand."
William made a little assenting sound under the veil.
"Oh, well, you can understand English, dear boy, I hear, but not speak it very well."
William made another little assenting sound.
"Oh, oh. Well, dear boy, I don't want you to bother to talk to me, because I know how difficult it is trying to talk in an unfamiliar language. I went to Germany once and found it almost impossible to make myself understood. So you just enjoy your tea. You'll please me far more by making a good tea than if you talked good English."
She laughed at her little joke, and William chuckled dutifully behind his veil.
"Ho, ho, ho, ho. That's right, dear. Now, how about a little jelly and whipped cream to begin with?"
William made another sound and set to work with zest. He managed remarkably well, holding his veil up a little with one hand and conducting food to his mouth with the other. Jelly, trifle, cream buns, chocolate biscuits all disappeared under the veil like magic. At intervals, he made little sounds of appreciation and gratitude. Miss Cliff was delighted. After tea, she took him round the garden, watched with tense jealousy by Mrs. Nickel from behind her window curtains. Then she led him back into the drawing-room, where the pièce de résistance of the entertainment took place. She had managed to borrow a record of Inner Persian Market. She put it on the gramophone.
"There, dear boy! That takes you back to your dear home, far away beyond the seas, doesn't it?"
William listened to it making appreciative sounds. The whole thing had gone off better than he dared hope. It was now time to end it. He rose and was just pointing to the clock, which stood at 5:30, when there was a knock at the front door, and Miss Cliff hastened to it to admit a neighbour, Miss Milton. Miss Cliff introduced William. "This is Miss Milton, Hassan, and this, Miss Milton, is Hassan, the little Persian boy." "Oh, yes," said Miss Milton, looking at William. "I met him at the vicarage this morning. He wasn't dressed like that then, though. He was wearing an ordinary suit." "This is his national costume," explained Miss Cliff. "He has to wear it when he goes out to tea. He promised his mother." She smiled fondly at the veiled figure. "He can't talk English, you know." "I know," said Miss Milton. "At least not fluently, but he talks French beautifully. He and I had quite a long conversation in French at the vicarage. N'est-ce pas, Hassan?" She proceeded to pour out a flood of fluent French, at the end of which she obviously asked him some question and waited for the answer. William was seized with a sudden, violent paroxysm of coughing. They gazed at him in concern. "What a dreadful cough," said Miss Milton. She addressed him again in French, evidently an inquiry about his health. This brought on a fresh spasm. "Water, quick," said Miss Milton, and William, suspecting that it might be difficult to drink water at such close quarters without revealing his features, hastily recovered, and decided instead to gasp for breath. It was at this point that there came another knock at the front door. William welcomed the diversion till he heard the vicar's voice in the hall. "I'm so sorry that Hassan couldn't come, Miss Cliff. You got my message, didn't you? He was most disappointed."
"Oh, but he's here," stammered Miss Cliff. "He's in the drawing room."
"Impossible," said the vicar, flinging open the door. At which moment, William leapt through the open window, knocking over a small table and two chairs. His shawl fell from him. His headdress caught on a bush just outside the window. Hassan vanished, and the figure of William Brown was seen in full flight towards the gate. He crept round miserably to Miss Cliff's later in the evening to apologise. But Miss Cliff was all smiles.
"Oh, William," she said, "of course it was naughty of you, but I know you only did it to save me disappointment. And, oh, the most wonderful thing has happened, and it would never have happened if it hadn't been for you."
From the somewhat incoherent story that followed, William gathered that the table he'd overturned in his headlong flight from the room was an antique that contained a secret drawer in which Mrs. Nickel kept her few pieces of good jewellery. Before she left her house, she had added the silver spoons to the collection, and then had completely forgotten having done so. The fall had loosened the secret spring, and a diamond brooch, a gold bracelet, and the silver spoons had rolled out over the floor. Miss Cliff had sent the spoons round to Mrs. Nickel with a letter. Mrs. Nickel had come round herself to apologise. She had grovelled uncompromisingly. Miss Cliff had been very sweet and forgiving, and had enjoyed every minute of it.
"So I don't mind a bit about Hassan, William. I understand why you did it, and I'm grateful to you. And now, dear, I'm sure you're hungry. Let's finish up Hassan's tea."